Welcome back to Behind Design. I'm your host, Rachel Pesso, and today I'm so excited to have my great friend, Jenny Schwartz, on the show, and I am so excited you're here, and I can't wait to dive in. So can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your business?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. Rachel and I have a lot of design side conversations, so it's good to have one on so everyone could hear our little banter. Yes. Anyway, I am the creative director and founder of Soulmar Creative. We are a branding and digital design studio that focuses mostly in the fitness and wellness space.
Love that. And I honestly, I love hanging out with other designers because we get to, like you said, have all the side conversations and we obviously have so many different things we can talk about. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about how you started your business, because I think that there's so many creatives out there who, A, struggle with starting, really building a business that they can call a business versus freelancing, and really just want to know how you did it.
So I kind of started mine by accident, actually. After college, I worked kind of in the corporate world. I worked for National Hockey League and Major League Baseball and Financial Times, all as a junior designer. It was very uninspiring, and I really didn't know where my career was going to go. And I read this book called Quarter Life Crisis. And the book said, like, remember what you wanted to do when you were a kid. That is your calling. So I was like, oh my God, I really wanted to be an art teacher. So I enrolled myself in graduate school to get my master's in art education. And I didn't know how I was going to pay for graduate school. So I started freelancing while I was in graduate school. And like all of a sudden, I had this business. People were hiring me. People were paying me to do work for them. That was when I was 24.
Amazing.
So it's wild. So it kind of like came to me and I started finding myself like student teaching and hiding in the supply room and talking to clients and coming late to student teaching because I was working on projects. So I did end up finishing my degree because I started it. Haven't done anything with it. So, but that's how I started my business.
That's amazing. And I think like when you said I kind of fell into it, I think a lot of designers are in that group because the truth is that is how most designers start off with, oh, I'm just going to freelance or, exactly. Oh, I'm just going to try this. And once you start seeing, hey, this is working, then that's when you start to really like craft the building the brand, building the business pieces, which honestly took me like 5 years to really figure out.
I mean, I went to art school. No one taught me how to run a business.
Literally that.
So that all came with experience and then eventually hiring some, or actually my husband joined my business to kind of take over the business side.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that because I feel like that's really interesting just in itself. And also I'm sure that from when you started to bring him on, your business probably grew in different ways from it. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about kind of where it is now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally right-brained. I'm like 99.9% right-brained. I mean, I think in sparkles and rainbows like you do. So having him who's more left-brained, someone who's, you know, really understands how to run a business. He ran a business before he joined me and just, you know, handling all the sales and he's kind of more the face of the business and he does all the invoicing and all the proposals and handles, which we'll talk more about later, a lot of our partnerships. Like, he's all about the relationships.
That's awesome.
So it works well.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think a lot of people who run agencies often struggle with finding that person. So it's amazing that not only is it your husband, but it's somebody who probably also knows a lot about, you know, a lot about that. And also, I'm sure before he joined, he probably knew quite a bit of your own struggles.
Yeah, he says that he translates things for me because as designers, we could get really attached to our work and emotional, right? So sometimes he'll get the feedback from the client and have to translate it in a way that I'm going to digest it and not have a freak. But when he first started with me, I thought I was really slow. I wasn't working as much. And I realized that I was like 75% of what I was doing was administration. So now I could focus like totally on the creative.
That's amazing. Yeah. And probably most people listening to this, it's their dream because, you know, as a creative, we do want to spend like basically 80% of our time on the creative. And the truth is when you're running a business, that's really it's not possible to do both. It's really difficult. Take me as an example. I did that for probably 8 years. Mm-hmm. And now I do have more support that's kind of like opened that up. But Yeah, that's a whole separate conversation. But anyway, I'd love to talk a little bit about what I think is so interesting. And we've talked about this before, really like niching down. Mm-hmm. So that way you can really attract the right types of clients in your creative business. And tell me a little bit about how that's benefited you and really like I know you fell into kind of the area you're in, but mm-hmm. how did you start realizing, okay, this is something to really like niche down and focus on?
Sure. So my first client in the space, in the fitness space, we work a lot with boutique fitness. And my first client was actually before like the boom of boutique fitness. It was Flywheel, which was kind of like the second. There was SoulCycle, and then all of a sudden Flywheel came on the game, and they hired me really young to work on their brand and to do their website because I knew one of the original owners. So he took a chance on me, and it kind of just came out of that. Like, I started getting more clients in that space. It's also something that I'm like incredibly passionate about. I love boutique fitness. I love wellness. I love keeping up with the wellness trends. So it really helped just having a passion in it to really go get it. So it starts with one client, and then you start seeing a pattern of the same client that you're getting over and over again.
Yeah, that makes sense. And did you find that from doing that? Obviously in our business, referrals are huge. So is it that the referral game part of it, or was it more the fact that it was a well-known brand that really helped you think? Because I think it's good to differentiate because mm-hmm. sometimes it's the referrals and they're different. And I think I'm curious how that played out for you.
In the beginning, it was mostly the referrals. I put my name on the bottom of the studio's name on the bottom of every website, right? Yep. So they know where it came from. But in the beginning, it was kind of like, oh, this person did this brand. I really like it. So I'm going to hire them for mine. At this point, we get most of our clients from partnerships.
Yeah.
So we've really zoned in on the partners or the specific tools that our space and our clients need and making relationships with them. So cool. They do a lot of the sending of the clients to us, and the clients feel like we're pre-qualified at that point. And we've really just made a name for ourselves in that space.
Okay, I want to dive deeper into this. And I'm also in a niche. I work with a lot of coaches, fitness professionals, but more on the personal brand side. I do a lot of different type of coaching business, authors, speakers, that type mm-hmm. of thing. But that being said, I feel like my business is much more referral-based as opposed to partnerships. And I'm curious what that shift was. You mentioned software. So can you share more about that specifically?
Yeah. So most of our boutique fitness clients, they all use reservation systems in order for you to book the class, right? There's many out there. So we have relationships with all of them. And we know that our client needs that, right? So we kind of check out what the one that's best for them, right?
But we make
so that they know when a client first comes to them or a studio comes to them and mm-hmm. says, hey, we need someone to build out their website, or we really need our brand, or we need help. They're saying, okay, well, here's a couple studios we work with. And then they refer
them
to us.
That's great.
But it could start as small as like MailChimp, for example. I'm sure a lot of your clients use MailChimp or a different type of email marketing system.
Yep.
So we have a relationship with MailChimp, and we've gotten certified and learn about MailChimp so that we can refer their software and they refer us back. And then you could also make passive income from it.
Yeah. Tell me about that. That's when you first kind of mentioned this to me when we were talking privately about it, I was like, oh my God, I've never thought about this. And I think a lot of people out there who are listening probably haven't thought about it. But the truth is, when clients are coming to work with you, just like you said, there's a whole set of tools that their businesses need. And so forming partnerships, like, I don't think Zoom is one. I'm trying to think of other things. So for us, it's like hosting companies, mm-hmm. domain companies, any other third-party services that all of your clients use could be
exactly. So you're not
something.
You don't feel like a creepy salesperson. You're not pushing their product, but you're actually meeting them with what they need, right?
Exactly.
And these companies, these products, they're going to form a relationship with you because you're now acting like a salesperson for them, right?
Yeah.
And most of them, you know, you just have your client sign up with your referral link, and therefore you're kind of tagged. And it's, I don't want to say you don't get these giant checks in the mail, but they start adding up.
Yeah, especially with multiple clients
exactly.
and all the different. I love this because, again, a lot of the times, because we're creative, we're not thinking about it in that way. Like,
right.
My brain would literally never think about this unless somebody, I learned about it or someone told me. So for me, it's so helpful to learn these different types of tools and talking to other creatives. So that's why I love when you mention this, like passive income for designers, so smart. And I know that, for example, I did do this at one point when I was selling a course, like Canva.
Yeah.
Like all of my clients actually are like, hey, can you create Canva templates for my brand? Mm-hmm. Okay, great, I can. But also you're going to need a Canva account because we have to build it in your account and whatnot. So just to keep thinking about the different tools, because there's so many now with everything that we do. And I know Janine's listening, my podcast editor. This is something that she should be listening to as well, because there's so many third-party podcasting tools that at this point people are really needing to use to market themselves and all the different stuff. So this is why I wanted to have this conversation, because I think it's so, so helpful. And yeah. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes. And take note of all the different software that you're using and all the different technology you're using, and see if there is a referral program or an affiliate program for them.
Yeah. And I will say, like, it might take a little work, but it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it, especially if you can like be organized. And as we're all growing businesses, like when people come and sign up, you can actually share them, like, here's all of our partners and these are the recommended software and things that we use. Like, it's that easy because, like you said, they're already coming in and they trust you. Did you have to work on any types of partnerships with, you mentioned like the software company and stuff. Were those more like conversations versus really like just getting affiliate links? I know that like through some of the other software is more just like, here's our, you're approved and they just give you a link, right?
Yeah. So my husband actually, he goes to a lot of like conferences, right? Like he'll find like boutique fitness conferences, like where all the studio owners are. And you would think that he would go there just to like find clients. Like these are all potential clients. But the main reason he goes there is to see all the vendors, like see all the who's pitching to the clients. And that's who he's targeting to make a relationship with.
Love that.
Yeah. So he's having conversations with them. He's a big schmoozer. So it works out.
He's a great guy. Yeah, I think that this is it's such an important thing. I'm happy we talked about it. I want to go back to the niching down.
Sure.
So I think this is a really controversial topic. A lot of the times, and specifically, I think in the past, like everybody was like, you have to niche down. If you don't, like you don't even have a business and all this, there's all this like you have to's and whatnot. And I have a little different perspective, I think, just in general. I'm not like a big let me label myself. So I think I'm anti-niche. I'm like, I'm not niche. I can work with anybody. But you have a different perspective on that. And I want you to share it.
I sure do.
Yeah.
Well, if a client comes to us and they're not fitting in our niche, we don't say no to them. I think when I niche, it's more of my front facing. It's more of my marketing, right? Let me ask you something. So I'm sitting here across from Rachel. The two of us have big, blonde, curly hair, right? So Rachel, let me ask you. If you're pulling into a shopping center, you really need a haircut, okay? And you see two salons in front of you. One says, we cut everyone $25. And one says, we cut curly hair only $50. Which one are you going to go to?
Oh, yeah, girl. Like, the hair thing is a total niche.
Yeah, but you're going to spend double.
Double.
To go to the expert who knows exactly what you 100%. Need and what you want.
And the truth is, if I'm being totally honest, I'm like that with every single thing in my life for the most part. I think it's more of a personal, like, I don't want to be niched.
Right.
But I'm getting over that because I am niched. I mean, that's the whole thing.
You see repetition and you become an expert. Like you know exactly what your clients don't even know what they want. And if I was the expert of every different industry, I'd be the expert of nothing.
I agree.
Like we spend our energy trying to understand one specific industry, and I do. And I could tell all these people what they need before they even know, and we could really hold their hand through the entire journey. And we have a giant like reference library where I could, when I'm doing my research and my inspiration, like I know exactly where to go because they're all filling a need of what my clients need.
Yes.
But I see people are nervous, right? They're nervous. They're going to say no to so many, to business, right? You don't want to say no to business. You don't want to say...
Well, and I will say, like, the creative in me doesn't like to just oh, I'm only going to do this. I'm only going to do this. And I love variety. So I also, I can understand the business owner that comes in and is like, I don't want a niche. I want to like offer this and offer this and offer this. And I agree with you, though, it's going to be hard then to be the master in all those things unless you're a really gifted type of person.
Well, who has that time?
Right. And who has that time? So it is true. I think that giving people the advice to niche down is probably best when they're coming, when we're talking about branding yourself and everything. Mm-hmm. But again, I always say if it doesn't energetically align, then just don't do it. But
right.
You will
see. But if
see.
You're passionate about the space that you're in, it even, yes. You're living it. Like I live, I'm not only, I'm on both ends. Like I'm creating the space, but I'm also living the space. Like I love seeing what's out there in the industry that we work in.
I know. And I love that you mentioned that because I think like as creatives, one of the biggest parts, and I think that's why we're both successful, is we truly immerse ourselves into our creative projects. And I think that when you're not immersed in it, it's very hard to really create a brand experience for somebody if you don't. Like if someone came to me and they're like, I'm a doctor and I work like in corporate medical space or whatever, it'd be really hard for me without doing like a lot of research to really embody and energetically immerse myself in that field. I can do it. Mm-hmm. They would probably be more beneficial to work with somebody who is an expert in medical branding. Yeah.
I have a hard time with that because I have other designer friends that are very specific to a specific industry. And when the project comes to me first for whatever reason, and I'm like, this sounds really cool and I really want to do it. But my other designer friend might do it a lot better because they know it better.
Yeah. And I think that's really admirable to be able to be like, no, not because I can't do it, because I know this person actually can do it better. And I think that's, I'm sure there's people listening that might totally disagree with what we're saying. But I think it's open. And I love having this conversation because I do believe that a lot of the times when we're working in businesses, we'll accept business even when intuitively you're like, meh, I'm not really sure that I'm the perfect person for this. Even like sometimes the person's pushing so hard for it. Like, oh, I really want you to do this. And it's like, I know, but like, I don't really think I'm the right one. And sometimes we don't always have the person to send them to. I've definitely turned people away before. And it's hard to do. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I always feel better because my integrity and my intuition and knowing really knows that I'm actually not a fit for this project.
Totally. I find that more like less creatively than and more skill-wise. Yeah. Like if someone wanted a WordPress site,
yes,
probably turn to you. It's not my thing.
Totally. Totally agree. Well, I'm so happy that we went into all that. I want to switch modes a little bit and talk a bit about your experience with branding. You're obviously an expert branding designer, strategist, and whatnot. And I want to hear a little bit more about what your creative process is. Like, how do you go into it? Because I think a lot of the times when people hire us, they think that we're kind of like magicians sometimes. And for me, it's like a pull and like a give and a pull type of situation. I'm just curious if you could share a little bit about your creative process.
My process. Well, as you know, every client, some want to be totally involved and like be on your shoulder the entire time. And sometimes you're like, why did you even hire me?
Yep.
Just to execute for you. And I have some clients that hire me and they're like, you're the expert. Like, you go. And I always start with like a deep dive, like a brand, interviewing them, a branding questionnaire, asking them all the questions, really putting them on the spot. Sometimes that's multiple phone calls. Sometimes that's one. I have very specific questions I ask. And following that, I look for inspiration anywhere and everywhere. I try to focus really on what the clients, how they want to be perceived and the feeling. When clients come back to me with feedback and they're telling me exactly what they want me to do, I kind of take a step back and I'm like, what did this make you feel and how do you want it to make you feel? Like, I want that type of feedback more than telling me exactly what to do.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. So, I feel the same. And obviously, again, we've totally connected on that. Like, for me, anyone that's listened to this podcast before, I'm all about the feelings, like bad feelings, good feelings, whatever feelings, like we just have to channel them and make them come into the work that we do. Yeah. And I think when they hire us as designers, it's like we have to actually figure out what are the feelings that they want whomever they're marketing to feel. And that's our job, is to help them.
So don't tell me visually what you want. That's my job.
Yeah.
Tell me how you want people to perceive you.
Yes.
That's really important for me. And then I like to see everything that's in the space. I'll start local. Our clients are literally all over the world. So I'll start local. Like, what else is there? What are the competitive analysis? If all the other fitness studios around you are using the color blue, I'm not going to use that. Right? Like, how do I make you stand out in this space?
Cool.
So I do that. I don't really put together mood boards too much. I find that I get stuck on them. Like, I want to, it's hard for me to, like, go away from it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I do, like I said, look what's around and then kind of pull things that I think would work. So, and then, like, everyone, I just freaking go. Like, I have a giant Adobe Illustrator document, and I just go. And, like, sometimes I'm not even thinking, and I'm, like, curious to see where my subconscious goes.
Yeah.
I generally, when it comes to brands, I will provide two different concepts. Sometimes, most of the time it ends up three because I can't let one go. But I try to provide two completely different directions.
Cool.
My concepts are generally really polished. I find that if I give sketches to a client or if I'm not providing the big picture, most of the time they're not putting the pieces together.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up because going back to mood boards. So mood boards, I think, work for really large brands. A lot of the times it's to help them really kind of grasp the vision before you actually create the vision. But I do feel that it can be a really stuck point because if you're not doing your own photo shoot, we're basically trying to find examples of what you want to create out there that are already out there, then putting them together to create an experience or mood. And sometimes that can be hard. Like, if it's something very specific, a lot of the times when I'm doing a mood board, I'm like, I can't find what I'm looking for. And I spend so much time looking for it. I'm like, no, I'm done with this.
Right.
And also, especially with a lot of the brands that I'm working with, it's like an internal document. Like, no one's going to see the mood board.
Sure.
So I'm like,
I guess, but I swear, I think mood boards could be effective if you don't get too specific. If I find a logo that I'm like, oh my God, this style is exactly what I'm looking for, it's just hard for me to get it out of my mind, get it out of my brain.
I'm exactly the same. And I also think a lot of creatives, and there's so many different processes, but I'm curious if you do this as well, but I really go internal. I try not to look at things because if I start to look at examples of stuff, it can creatively stump me because I'm thinking, like you said, what they created.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't want to create what they created.
Sure. I think a lot about the person who's going to be wearing it. That visual always goes into my head. When it comes to fitness studios or wellness brands, the people that use these brands or go to these studios, they're so proud of being fit, being in that community, being able to do this, right? They just like to represent that brand so much. So I always have this visual of someone just walking down the streets of New York City, just leaving their favorite workout. And what are they wearing? What do they look like?
Yeah.
So it kind of all comes together like that. Because when I create a brand for wellness brands, I'm creating a culture. I'm creating a lifestyle around it.
Yeah. And I think that what you just shared is so fascinating because it translates in every industry in its own way. So for me with personal brands, it's kind of the same. If you're really immersed into someone's personal brand, you mildly want to be them. You kind of really to share everything they share.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably talking about them a lot, which just shows up in a different form.
But absolutely.
It's basically the same thing. If I have an amazing trainer that I love working out with. I mean, anytime I can talk about it, I'll tell people about how much I love working out with him. And and I think
instructor
that's
crushes are a thing.
Exactly. And to me, that's what good branding does though. It makes you actually be able to do that. And without it, I feel like without a great brand, it'd be hard to actually feel that for the person.
Absolutely.
This is so good. Okay, last thing I want to dive into is I want to know when it comes to what a brand means to you. If you could tell us a little bit about what building a brand really means to you. Hit you with the hard question.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's how people perceive, I don't want to use the word brand, people perceive the company, a stranger on the street. When you ask a client when they come to you for they hire you to build their brand. They have their own perception of who they are, especially if they have an existing brand, right? But you have to kind of look outside and see what other people, how they're perceiving the brand.
Yes.
Right? So it's your look and feel. It's your general, but it's the perception. That's my definition of branding.
Love that.
But it could go so freaking deep. There's so many facets of a brand. I mean, I like to focus on visual identity.
Yes.
But when you're talking about like the voice and the values, and I mean, it could go on and on and on.
Yeah. And I will clarify for anyone listening who might not be clear on this, but we are both on the visual side of the brand.
Yes. Yes.
We obviously do strategy like connected to it. But again, our focus is really the visual output experience and everything. Yes. And there are so many brand experts that actually live on the other side, which is really, like you said, those like values and the words and that whole experience, which actually we need in order for the whole experience to work.
Absolutely.
So it's a true collaboration.
Absolutely. And we have strategists that we bring in, but I do know my strengths in that is to make things pretty.
Love that. Love that. All right. Well, this has been so good. Thank you so much
for having me
on the show. And lastly, if anyone that's listening, what is the best way that they can get in touch with you?
Sure. So my business is Solmark Creative. It's Solmark Creative. So you could find us on solmarkcreative.com or on Instagram as Solmark Creative. My personal Instagram is Jenny with an I, J-E-N-N-I, Schwartz 13. That was tough. Okay. Jenny Schwartz 13 on Instagram. It's Jenny with an I, the normal way to spell Schwartz. And yeah,
amazing.
That's where you find me.
Thank you so much.
Thank
this
you for
great.
Having me. I love it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you could download, follow, and leave me a 5-star rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred platform. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And remember, the best way to create a brand you love is to be yourself.